It is truly good, as always, to be able to come and to assemble together with the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
I really appreciate Brother Mike's prayer.
Amen.
And the song leading by Brother Butch. As we come together in order to do what we are commanded to do upon the first day of every week, and that is to assemble together as we're commanded in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Considering one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. But this is what God is pleased with, that we may come to sing praises unto Him, that we may partake of the Lord's Supper, remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brother Brian mentioned that we don't do it one or two times a year, but we do it every Lord's Day.
Amen.
We had the opportunity to tell some people that on yesterday as we were out door knocking. It was really funny. As we were out knocking doors, we ran into this other group out knocking. And the question was asked, is there anything about door knocking etiquette? You know, if one group is knocking in this area, should we leave or should we continue to knock doors? And I was laughing. I was walking with my wife, who asked that question, Anita, and we were just laughing about it. And it was funny because you would go and knock on one door, and a couple or some people had just left that door, and no one answered. And then when we knocked, someone answered, and just vice versa. And some of the people were getting sort of tired of it, really. You know, we just talked to them. No, you talk to a different group. We're not with them. And so we gave them our information. And it is good that we're out knocking doors. And I'm just waiting on the time where we walk up on a door and they have a sign up there that says, if you are members of the Church of Christ, don't knock on my door. I've seen it with the Baptists and I've seen it with the Jehovah's Witnesses where they have the sign there. If you're a member of this group, don't knock on my door. And when I saw the sign, I didn't see the Church of Christ there. I knocked on the door. This was, you know, when we was in Texas. And I'm just waiting for the opportunity to see that sign and say, our work is worth it. You know, people are getting the word and they understand what we stand for and who we stand for and what we're fighting about. As far as getting people to understand who Jesus Christ is. In Jude 3, it tells us to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And so we're going to continue to knock doors.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to do what we're supposed to do. Shining as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This is what's important. If you would, lift your voices with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. All around the neighborhood, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You know, as we think about allowing our lights to shine, this sometimes is a lonely journey. It is something that each one of us have to understand what we're supposed to do.
Amen.
You're not going to always have someone by your side. walking with you day in and day out, making sure that you keep yourself in line with God's Word. So we have to look at the Scriptures and understand what God desires of us. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, the Scripture reference that Brother Gary read, I would just like to say I really am really excited about Brother Gary, Brother TJ, and Brother Bryce, our youngest men of the congregation, and the work that they're doing. You know, they come up and they sing hymns unto us. Brother TJ haven't got to that point yet, but it won't be long. Yeah. It's just a matter of Brother Thanopoulos saying, get up there and do it. But these brothers are striving to allow their lights to shine. And hopefully it's just not around us, but it's also when they go to school and they're there around their friends, that they'll be an example that they're supposed to be. We find in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, as we look at what Paul is writing to the church of Philippi here, he tells them to work out their own salvation in a crooked and perverse generation. It's what we want to concentrate on and focus on this morning. Because the world that we live in, they are striving so hard to pull us away from the love of God. Amen. And we have to stay focused, and we have to continue to remember what God would want us to do. How He would want us to conduct ourselves when we're amongst those heathens out there in the world. Yes, there are some heathens out there. You know, I'm still formulating this sermon in my mind, and I'm just going to tell it to you one more time. There's a sermon that I'm going to preach in this entitled On Broadway. There's a lot of things that happen on Broadway. There's a lot of things that happen in our neighborhoods, and there's a lot of things that happen in front of our house and in back of our house and on side of our house and at the bus stops. There's a lot of things happening on Broadway. But I want you to understand that as we're talking about allowing our lights to shine in this world, that a lot of things that's happening on Broadway, they're happening in groups. In groups. But we as individuals must understand what our responsibility is for the cause of Christ. So we need to work out our own salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. No one else is going to do it for you. You're going to have to do it yourself. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, now not just in you now, but abound, that they're growing, that they're moving, they make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For ye do these things, ye shall never fail if you do them. You never fail. You'll never fall. You'll never be by the wayside, but you'll always be moving forward, doing what God would have you to do. Contrary to popular belief, you can fall. You can be by the wayside. But he says again in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and had forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. I'm not saying that you never were in Christ, but that you forgot That your own sins have been washed away by the blood of Christ. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we need to work out our own salvation in order for us to be found faithful in the end? This is what it's all about. You know, you work on a job for 30 years and you look back and you have nothing to show for it. It's not like that working for the Lord.
Amen.
If you work for the Lord for 30 years and you're found to be faithful when you die or when He returns, you will have something to show for it. A home in eternity. It was with a man that was in the military, and he was in the military for 20 years and getting ready to retire, and he didn't want to retire because he had not set up his nest egg to retire. Where are your treasures this morning? Where are you storing up your righteousness this morning? What are you doing for the cause of Christ? Or are you understanding that it is you that need to be working out your own salvation so that God would be pleased with you? Not only are you to work out your own salvation, we find there in verse 12, but it says that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Go, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. We already covered verse 24 and 25. But there are some other things that we must do. We always like to look at verse 25, mainly when we start talking about, you know, doing what God wants you to do by assembling together. But He says here in verse 26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Sin willfully. You know good and well what you're supposed to be doing, but you turn around and you do just the opposite. You're throwing things back in the face of our Lord. He's not going to die for us again. He's only died once. And that's enough. And we need to realize this and we need to accept this. But it says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. With fear and trembling. You know, I believe that there's many times where we do not understand what it means to fear God. What it means to understand that we need to respect Him for what He can do to us if we don't do what we're supposed to according to His Word. You know, it's sort of, you know, when we start going back and we look at Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached that first gospel message there, and those individuals, about 3,000, were added unto the number that day. Why were they added? I believe that fear had a lot to do with it. We did what? I can't believe that we crucified Jesus. People told us who He was, but yet we still crucified Him. Now Peter is telling us what we can do because we have asked Him. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Why? Because I do not want to go to hell. You know, sometimes that's what it takes for us to put the fear of God in people. For them to respect Him for who He is, that they may move to do what He wants them to do. Verse 28 says, he that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How much more sore punishment? It's not just with the stoning of stones that you're going to die. But you're going to die a dreadful death. You're going to spend your eternity in hellfire. We need to get our lives right. For we know not him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I shall recompense, said the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Again, you know, it's not where you look at someone and you tell them that they're doing something wrong and they say, don't judge me. The writer says here, God is going to judge his people. So yes, we need to tell people when they're doing things wrong, using a righteous judgment. A judgment that's going to cause them to understand that they need to be a light that setteth upon a hill. This is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A fearful thing. It's scary. It's frightening. God will cause you to depart away from Him. Never in His presence again will you be because you lived a life of sin. Have you ever been so scared that you actually got the shakes? You started trembling and someone had to take you to the doctor in order to get a shot? Have you ever seen anybody like that? Or have you ever experienced that yourself? If you haven't, I'm going to just say, I hope you do. So that you may understand how fear really affects people. And how the fear of what God can do to us should affect us in order to move us to love Him. He don't want us to be scared of Him. But He do want us to understand that He is God. He is our Creator. And we need to allow our lights to shine. Let God work in us, coming from verse 13. Let Him work in us. Go into Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Brother Brian, if you would, keep your finger on Philippians chapter 2. We go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Read verse 13 for us there.
In whom ye also trusted. You talk about here
in Philippians, yes, sir.
Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure.
It is God is working in you. Now, a lot of people say, well, how does this take place? God works in you to do His good works and to do His pleasure there. You know, and we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is exceedingly greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. You know, Jesus, He said, you know, I can do all things. This is what Paul writes. He said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. God gives us that power. Christ gives us that power. The Spirit gives us that power to work according to what God would have us to do. To those that believe, not to those that don't believe, but to those that believe. You can do whatever you set your mind to do it, as long as it is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. We need to set our minds. We don't need to focus on the things of this earth. We need to focus on the things above. We need to understand what God wants us to do, why He wants us to do it. Why should we allow our lights to shine? It's not that we may get any glory. Is that the Father may be glorified. You know, and I mentioned this in Bible class this morning, about, you know, you telling someone or asking somebody that, do you have Jesus or you need Jesus? Have anyone walked up to you and said, I see that you have Jesus. I see that you are a Christian. I see that God is with you because of what you're doing. Your light is shining so that they may see these things. God is working in you. He's working in you. And if He hasn't worked in you, whose fault is it? Have you been rejecting? If so, you need to start respecting and start accepting. In chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, verse 16. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16. That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He looked up at verse 15, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. I'm in the wrong chapter. No, I'm there. 3:16. I was over in 2:16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. You see, God in chapter 1, now you see the Spirit in chapter 3. Both of them are working in you. You know, people say, well, how does that take place? How does the Spirit work in me? You know, it allows you, as you focus on it and allow it to control you by the Word now. It's not going to do anything apart from the Word. Nothing miraculous. But we look at it that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Is it showing in your life? Is it showing in your prayer life that the Spirit is there? Is it showing in your workplace that the Spirit is there? Is it showing? God, He wants us to understand that He is with us. He wants us to understand that He will never depart away from us. It is us that turn our back on Him. He will never turn His back on us.
Amen.
We need to understand this. The Spirit will not leave you, but yet you leave the Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is there in heaven, as Brother Mike again said, that He's there in heaven interceding for us. But yet He is still with us. We have to understand this. Let God work in us. In chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, Paul says here, you know, this is what he writes in many of his letters. Finally. Getting to the end of his letter now that I'm writing to you, but I want you to know something. My brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor. Don't just put on one sock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you tell your children to go get dressed, you expect them to come out of that room fully dressed. They come out, "Mom, I'm dressed," but they don't have their socks on yet. No, you're not dressed. Or they come out of the room, they don't have their shirt on. No, you're not dressed yet. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why he wants to fully dress ourselves. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual weaknesses in high places. But you know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be a light. But yet, we're fighting against darkness. Now, I just want you to know right now, light will always overpower darkness.
Amen.
Always. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, or with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. And that's it. Don't need anything else, do you? Oh yeah, you need something else. You're dressed. You're almost there. But it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I don't care how much you do. I don't care how much you say that you love God. If you do not use His Word, you are not His.
Amen.
You have to use His Word, and you have to use it properly. You have to use it properly. Verse 8, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You do what you're supposed to do, and then you watch after other saints. So we all play a part in this thing by working together and allowing our lights to shine. But it is still an individual effort. I cannot let your light shine. You cannot let mine shine. We all have to shine our own lights. Have you ever been in a cave and you have a flashlight and the person with you have a flashlight and their batteries go dead and then they try to take your light? You say, no. No, 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 no. It's just like the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. You cannot have any of my oil and you cannot have my light. You have to let your light shine before God or before men, that God may be glorified. Verse 14, Brother Bart.
Ephesians 2, verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings.
All things without murmuring and disputing. You know, we have a problem with this. We have a problem with people, you know, always wanting to complain about this and complain about that and yah, yah, yah. Best thing for a lot of people to do is to realize that they just need to be quiet. Complaining brings about negativity. And negativity brings about people not wanting you around them. I hate to be around a negative person. A person is always complaining about this, that, and the other. Never satisfied about anything. Anything. You know, I want you to do it like this. And when you do it like they say, they come in and say, no, you didn't do it the way I wanted it done. You did the way you told them to do it, or they told you to do it, but yet they're still not satisfied. The best thing for you to tell that person, do it yourself. Do it yourself. But when we understand what it means to do things without complaining, we'll be so much better. If you're going to help somebody, help them. If you're going to complain about the help that you're giving to them, don't give it to them.
Amen.
Brother Tanopoulos was talking about the $1 and the $10, you know. One, it should be enough. But when you put that 10 there with that one, they want the 10. That's the way people are. Always got to have something to complain about. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Giving thanks always for some of the things. No. For all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You lost your job and you want to blame God. Was it God's fault that you didn't go to work on time? Was it God's fault that you didn't do what the man told you to do? It wasn't God's fault, it was your fault. But it says you give thanks for all things. Maybe it was a reason that you lost your job. Maybe it wasn't anything that you did, but it was something that someone else did. Maybe it's time for you to move on to another job. That's why you lost that job. Give God thanks that there are other jobs out there. Maybe it's not what you did. Maybe it's not what you like to do. But you go out there and you do that job until something better comes along. Giving thanks unto God for all things. Your house burned down. Give thanks that you were not in it. You totaled your car. Give thanks that you are still able to walk. You're in the hospital. You had to have a major operation. And you come through it. You give thanks. You give thanks. All things. Something good happened to your life. I thank God for this allowing it to happen to this to happen to me. Something bad. Oh God, why me? You know what my prayer is? Not why me. Lord, why not me? You know, Lord, he can't handle that. I've been with him. I've heard him complain about something. He can't handle that. Give it to me. Let me go through it on his behalf. But he's still going to have to learn his lesson. Give thanks always for all things unto God. In Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. See, sometimes I think about these things right here, these verses here on the radio program and Brother Randy, and a lot of times when we're emailing people back and forth, we actually say some of these things to them. And then they say, well, you just said that because you don't want to answer the question. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are profitable and vain. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. We ain't got to fuss and fight with them. We don't have to complain about them. We just leave them alone. Leave them alone. This is what the Bible teaches us. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contention and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. When we learn some of these things, we'll be all right. We'll be who God wants us to be. People will say, you know, I admire what you're doing, and I want you to continue up that work and continue to do the work that you're doing because God is pleased with that. God is pleased with it. We need to learn some of these things. Verse 15.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world.
Blameless, harmless, without fault. That's why we put these things, you know, into our remembrance. This is why we keep reading these things over and over and over again, because we want to be who God would have us to be. And we can be.
Yeah.
A light that is shining in the world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. I've been here a year now, and I've never seen Brother Pack, Brother Brown, Brother Moore, and Brother Shelton. I've never seen one of them mad. Maybe I don't spend enough time with them to make them mad. I've never seen one of them mad. Maybe Diane have seen her dad mad before, and others have seen their dads mad before. But look what the Bible says here in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When we're discussing God's word with people, we don't get mad at them, or we shouldn't get mad at them. We should be gentle with them. We should, you know, speak, you know, kind words to them, instructing them and pointing them back to the scriptures, so that we may be blameless, harmless, without fault. But there are men that will come to us and they want to discuss God's word, and you know, they say something, they have no Bible to back it up, and you say, well, let me give you a verse, and then they don't never let you say it, and then they just want to continue to jump on you, and you just look at them and say, I'm finished with it. That's the type of people God wants us to be. He wants us to know when to shake the dust off of our feet and move on.
Amen.
He wants us to know these things. But remember, the scriptures tells us to be gentle unto all men. So that, you know, we may be able to teach them. You know, if you're mean to someone, they don't want anything to do with you. They don't want to give you the time of day. But if you just take your time with them, do as Philip did the eunuch. You take him from the book of Isaiah, and you preach unto them Jesus, and then you leave it up to them. The ball is in their court. Let them make up in their minds what they want to do. Verse 26 again. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. At his will. You know, when you're fighting on someone else's terms, on someone else's turf, you have a lot to lose. But when you say, let's move it over here, let's do something right here, you have something to gain. Let's go to the Word of God to see what God says about this situation, about this problem. Let's see what God says. Every man a liar, but let God be true. Verse 16, brother.
Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain.
When you're running a race, you want to make sure that you win something. You know, a lot of times you may come in last, but you did win something. I finished the race. I finished the race. Look at James chapter 1, verse 21 through 27. See, you have to do some training. James chapter 1, verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nonsense, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word, engrafted word, everything in it is able to save your soul. You just have to understand how it applies to you. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I hear what you're saying, but yet I really don't feel like doing those things. You mean to tell me you don't want to be a light for Christ? You don't want to allow your light to shine that people may say, what must I do in order to be saved? You don't want to live that type of life? If not, you have a problem. Verse 23, For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looked into the perfect law of liberty and continued therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bright not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. It's not worth anything. It's useless. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Keep himself unspotted from the world. You don't participate in worldly things. You don't go out there and say, well, this is my friend, and my friend want to do this, so I'm going to do it. They want to go to the club, I'm going to go to the club. They want to have a drink, I'm going to have a drink. They want to smoke marijuana, I'm going to smoke marijuana. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. Shine as lights in the world. You cannot allow your light to shine when you're participating in darkness. No way. It will not work. How do I know? Because I've been there. I've done that. Do not want to go back. And there should not be anybody here that's a member of the Lord's church that want to turn back and do the things of the world. No one. But maybe you're here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, and you're tired of the world using you. You're tired of waking up on the wrong side of the bed. You're tired of waking up in somebody else's bed. You're tired of waking up in the ditch. It's time to do something about it. It's time to become a light of the world. It's time to allow your light to shine. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is that you come this morning and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, coming in contact with the blood. I want us to know and understand that Jesus is calling you today. Maybe you're here and you're straight away and you're ready to come back to the fold. It is not too late. The opportunity is yours as well as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.